This morning, some of the media outlets had cottoned on to a report by the Australasian Railway Association, who put together a report called "The Costs of Commuting: An Analysis of Potential Commuter Savings." And basically, the report, and all 44 pages of its length, and is embedded here on the blog. What are the potential savings could you achieve being in one of the, covered both the Australian state capitals as well as Auckland and Wellington, the savings you could achieve by ditching commuting to the city, respective city centres, by car, by public transport in place of the car. The executive summary states that, and this is basically commuting patterns from suburbia into the main city centres, so the central business districts of the cities mentioned, listed in the document. I'll do just the New Auckland findings, or the New Zealand findings. The report makes the following key findings: that the average New Zealand commuter pays just this shy of $12,000 per annum in car ownership and running costs that do not include any tolling on our roads, although Auckland doesn't have it per se yet, apart from the Northern Gateway, and insurance costs, whether third party or full and comprehensive. For those that do not decide to own a car or have a second car, and commute with public transport instead, New Zealand commuters could on average potentially save just over $9,000 a year. If they do have a car or a second car, but leave it at home and use public transport, so something like I would, the potential I could save is about $2,119.03 a year. Again, this does not include any tolling or insurances that I might have to pay, and it's on a conservative estimate of $1,000 a year for parking costs, although for Auckland it can range anywhere between $100 to $410 a month, which means it can range from $1,200 to $4,920 a year, depending on where I park. Mind you, just as a note, park and rides are free at the moment. Of course, the report is quite narrow and it doesn't look at some of the wider costs, environmental and social costs, as they're not easily quantified. You'd probably need a central government agency to do that. I believe the Ministry of Transport Commission paper, which I commented on last year, might had a brief look, but it's not quantitated here, and also is not what is not also quantitated is the use of time using public transport versus driving, for example, with the diesels until we go to electric here on the Southern Line fully. It's 53 minutes in on the Southern Line. The average motorway trip and peak from the same thing is about average the same time. So you have the productivity question. The paper does not also look at the current state of public transport infrastructure or services. With Auckland, we, as it was noted in the report, we run a mixed fleet of diesels and the electrics. We don't go to full electrification rollout until basically late this year. And we should, pre-CRL, we will be operating on average high peak services about every 10 minutes. Maybe sometimes a bit less as you get close to the inner network, or the off-peak ranging from anywhere between 20 minutes to half an hour. Post-CRL, nothing stopping every 10 minutes, 7 days, 10 to 15 minutes, all day, 7 days a week, apart from the twin peak periods, Monday to Friday, where you can get it down to 5 to 7 minutes, especially on the inner parts of the network. This is for trains, that is not buses. Now, the ARA report Did pick up from the Ministry of Transport Commission report, which I commented on last year, that with Auckland as well as out through Australasia, car is the most dominant form of commute to the main city centres. Although that is slipping, I believe for Auckland it slipped from 86 to 80% now take the car, with buses and trains increasing, buses increasing slightly, trains increasing much so, but what was more interesting was active transport was increasing the most, probably as people move closer to their employment centres. It gives them the option to use active transport more so than probably previous. The report does show that the right across Australia and New Zealand's big two, that the interest and demand for public transport and in part active transport is increasing while car usage is dropping. However, the investment side is somewhat interesting. Comparing Sydney to Auckland, Sydney is investing billions of Australian dollars in heavy rail, light rail, busways throughout Sydney. That said, it is also looking at a multi-billion dollar West Connect motorway to replace Parramatta Road as the primary thoroughfare from Sydney to Parramatta out in the west. So you just have to weigh that one off as well. While in Auckland, we're still muddling around with the CRL question. We're still muddling around with buses and then better extending our rail services. Our council is about to cut Auckland Transport's budget by 38% in the long-term plan, and our central government has a fetish for roads, low-value roads that are below, for the most case, have a benefit-cost ratio of below 1, while most public transport projects are above 1.5, if not above 2. And so Auckland continues further to be stymied by central government's road fetish and our council going through a rather large budget cutting exercise. Whether this has effects on further uptake of public transport in Auckland is yet to be seen. Now, the report points out the methodology on how to travel to and from the city centre and the selected residential area. I believe for Auckland it was Pukekohe and Waitakere, so the two furthest points you can access by both car and rail, and you can all read it there in the report that again is embedded. The car types were listed as estimates from LAA as small, compact, medium and large. And the report also points out fixed and running costs. Again, that does not include for New Zealand's case insurance and for New Zealand and Australia tolling. Public transport was measured on ticketing. We use distance-based fare stages, while some, like Brisbane, use zonal. And of course, parking costs were worked out for, if you use Auckland Transport's facilities, it can range from anywhere between $1,200 a year to over $4,900 a year. Of course, it can get much higher than private parking places in the city centre itself. And so the key findings are for Auckland. Commuter costs, average total annual car costs, fixed and variable, notwithstanding some of the costs I mentioned earlier. For Auckland, it is $11,227, while average public transport, and I'm assuming this is on 8th stage, so it's going to be a little bit less as you get in, closer in, is $1,427. So potential savings on scenario one, you own the vehicle, but travel to work by public transport. I don't think this would quite include driving to the park and ride, like I have a tendency to do. Potential savings was about $1,200 a year, which looks, off the top of my head, about $100 a month, or some $25 a week. right up to, you don't own that vehicle and commute by public transport, a whopping $9,800 a year. So selling off that second car or being closer to a PT system might be quite beneficial in that stage. But, and here comes the but, and this is where the report falls over, although it does acknowledge it. It does mention that Auckland City Centre has a low employment self-sufficiency. The workers only making up 10% of the total numbers employed. This results in commutes, private and public, active. But the main sources, and this was pointed out in the Ministry of Transport report that was commissioned, that the main sources are from the Isthmus and the southern areas of the North Shore, and to a part, those within the vicinity of the Western Line as well, although with the high skills there, it will draw from across the region. Now, as it as I pointed out in the MOT commuting journey commentary, the report falls short, but it has acknowledged it on where the city centre draws its main residential base from. Your automatic fall down again is southern Auckland, which is anything from Otahu, drawing a line across Tamaki Street and out to the Manukau Harbour, south to the Bombay Hills. Now, while Howick would have a large proportion commuting towards the city centre, the rest of southern Auckland in its own right commutes within itself, i.e. either to one of, and this is what also throws the spanner, and it throws the spanner into it with Sydney as well. We either commute to Manukau City Centre itself, because we operate with two city centres, just as Sydney operates through its upcoming Sydney Plan, two city centres, that is the Main and Parramatta. So we commute to a secondary, smaller core city centre. We also, and as Parramatta does, house most of the large, heavy industrial complexes. So for us, that is the airport, East Tamaki, Highbrook, Wiri, for light industry, Takanini, as that develops, and later on, as that develops, the Drury South Heavy Complex, which was approved last year on the zoning. And so we have a tendency to commute within ourselves, owing to the second smaller city centre, as well as housing most of the heavy industrial complexes that actually do attract skilled labour and actually pay relatively well compared to the commercial sector. So that's where the report can fall short on, and should be treated as a very, very rough guide in driving public transport investment, because if we're going city centre centric focus, yes, it will work because of the Isthmus, West Auckland and Lower North Shore, but it isn't going to work for Southern Auckland. So your PT investment needs to recognise more so-called cross city commuting, that is for Southern Auckland east-west, linking up the heavy industrial complexes as well as Manukau to residential areas in southern Auckland. Now, just as a conclusion, as I wind this up, my wife works in the Manukau station in Manukau City Centre itself, so that's below the MIT at the southern end of Manukau City Centre. Now, at the moment, she drives in, but if she could, she would catch the train if the Manukau South Link was built. Now, the car on average takes about 16 minutes to get there, half an hour if the motorways go to crap. And we live in Papakura, so it's a relative short distance. By bus, it's about half an hour. It can be longer if peak traffic is up and you get stuck at the Takanini interchange in the Manuera town centre. Whereas if the South Link was built, it would be 14 minutes from Papakura to Manukau via that link. If you do the transfer up at Puanui, so that includes about 1.6 kilometres of backtracking, it's about 14 to 60 minutes to Puanui itself, even if the train is there, ready to go to Manukau on the transfer, that's still another 4 to 6 minutes backtracking down the Southern Line and into the Manukau Line and station. So it's a 20-minute trip you're looking at, and that's if the train is automatically there. So the SouthLink presents benefits in itself. So what I'm getting at is the SouthLink was there for Manukau to link up Manukau with its population base further in the deep south. We could reach, you could realise more potential, say, a more localised potential savings on using the train compared to both time, economy, social and environment, compared to the current option of where you're technically forced to take a car unless you want to get stuck on a bus. So the report, while it shows to the main city centre the commuter savings, that a $4 million SouthLink to allow 20-minute electric train services between Pukekohe, Papakura and Manukau for a 14-minute commute would give an example of localised savings as well. I think it's two-stage, so that is $3.20. Let me just run the math. So based on the $2.95.80 hop cards here from Papakura to Manukau two-stage, so $2.95, that's you're doing 5 days a week. That's $29.50 a week over 48 weeks, assuming you have 4 weeks annual, whether you take it all at once or scatter it, is a cost of $1,416. Let me just check the figures again. Nope, they are correct, but I think a single zone pass, monthly pass, is $120 a month, so times that by 12, $1,440. So that's how much it is. Now, the car would be slightly more during petrol time maintenance. So, yeah, an example of some localized savings that we just need to remember and consider. Otherwise, the report is quite enlightening on savings we could use if our PT system was up to full scratch.